Isn't this just a wonderful time of year? It's the end of May, and so for you students and teachers, school has just come to or will soon come to an end. And if memory serves, that's a wonderful thing. I'm guessing that for you parents, it's probably not so wonderful a thing, but let's just keep pretending that it's a wonderful thing for everybody else. Tomorrow starts a new month. And so soon the phenomenon of the June bride will be in full bloom here at Holy Trinity with great marital expectation and hope and joy brimming over in this church every week. Today, some of our younger parishioners are going to be receiving the Eucharist for the very first time, something that you guys have been looking forward to for weeks or maybe months or maybe even years. It's also a wonderful time of year, I think, because it's ordination season, a time when the church each year welcomes new priests. But for the new priests, ordination can also be a frightening event. And specifically here, I'm thinking of liturgical fright, the worst kind of fright you can have. As many of you know, priests are routinely ordained on Saturdays, and they have the opportunity to preach and to preside at Mass for the first time, often the very next morning. And depending upon where Easter falls in the liturgical calendar, that means that a brand new priest's first preaching assignment could well fall on any of the following feasts. The Ascension, 2 Sundays ago. Pentecost, last Sunday. Corpus Christi, next Sunday, the body and blood of Christ, or today, the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, the day where we celebrate that God really is three, Father, Son, and Spirit, and God really is one. I believe in one God. Talk about running the new guy through the theological gauntlet. An older priest said to me once that he thought that of all the hardest to preach on was today, the Holy Trinity. He actually said, good luck saying anything about the Trinity without committing heresy. Now, he may be right, in which, actually, can we cut the recording for the rest of this homily? He may be right, but if he is right, I think that's a deep tragedy. Because talk of the Trinity is everywhere. For virtually all Catholics and so many of our Christian brothers and sisters who aren't Catholic, we begin prayer with the same words and gesture. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At Mass, so many of the prayers end with words invoking the Trinity. Words like, we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And perhaps most obviously for us, we gather together each week, or you're visiting today, the Church of the Holy Trinity. So what can we say? And not just the priest, but what can we say? What can we say about the Holy Trinity? How about this? The Holy Trinity, God's really being one and three, reminds us that differences do not need to be divisive, but that they can actually help forge deeper unity. Two of those words there, difference and unity, are your non-negotiables when you're talking about the Trinity. There has to be real, genuine difference. There really are three persons. Not just three different names for talking about one thing. But those three are not united together by some sort of a contract for some time. They're not like three members of a really good rock band that are going to stay together so long as they're churning out number one hits and that they might eventually go their own way. Their unity is essential part of who they are, not accidental. Something just happens to be the case. Their differences contribute to, without threatening, their unity. And their unity comes about only because there is true, genuine difference. This is a good thing for us, because we live in a world where very often difference leads to being threatened, where it can bring about division, where it can stymie or even make impossible real unity. This past year, our nation began and continued, unfortunately, in such tragic circumstances, a conversation about race, which I think underscores the need we have for Trinity Sunday, and Trinity Monday, and Trinity Tuesday, and so forth. Because what that can be predicated on is when someone is of a different race than I am, and we could add here different religion, different sexual orientation, different economic status, different lots of other things, that can be threatening. That difference can be divisive. There can be a line drawn. I'm here, you're there. This is how I do things, this is how you do things. Why don't you do things the way I do things? My way of doing things is better. Why are you wrong? And we're off. We can so easily become the anti-Trinity. But it doesn't have to be that way. If we can become Trinity at a micro level, it can effect change on a macro level. So you students and teachers who are glad that school is over, and you parents who maybe aren't so glad, you all, like all of us, come from families. Families are little petri dishes of difference. If you doubt me, think about the last time you teased one of your siblings or the last time one of your children disobeyed you. There are real differences in families. But there's also the opportunity to be like the Trinity. Not to ignore difference, but not to let difference divide us. You June brides and grooms this year, or of any other month, or of any other month in any other year, when you have an argument, even if it's a very serious argument, it doesn't mean that you've chosen the wrong person. It means that you've married someone who isn't your clone. Thanks be to God. How can those differences enrich and not impoverish your marriage? And for you young ones who are receiving your first communion today, for you younger ones who aren't receiving your first communion yet, and for us not so young ones, we can't even count how many times we've received communion. We need to remember this. Receiving communion is never about getting something, getting the host. It's about becoming communion, becoming people who look at difference and see it as an opportunity to bring people together while allowing them to be different. Here in this church, and maybe even more importantly, when we leave church. The Holy Trinity, the reality that God is three and one, reminds us that difference doesn't have to be divisive. It can be the site for deeper unity. Consequently, this feast is our feast. Not just because we're in a church named after the Holy Trinity, but because this mystery, which seems so far off, ethereal, with dangers of heresy around it, is actually at the ground floor of our lives. We who are different, sometimes very different, but who in those differences have the opportunity to show something about God's very life.